We're hearing a love song, a song of spring. I know exactly that the sweetest flower blooms in your garden. I know precisely that in all the big world, no flower blooms like that. Who doesn't like the lily of the valley in spring? The cuckoo's song of love and longing. Who doesn't know what is the love of the country? Doesn't know a murmur of spring? I didn't know how to protect her from evil. I didn't know how to rain to cool her. But today at noon in my life, I can only live next to her. But I love to sing in the spring, and I love to come to a spring to find a thread of tears for you, sweet, dear love. Tears in the Spring, Alexandru Lozanciu. The song is bittersweet because the love expressed is a lost love. Still, the season of spring is a season of hope in spite of the snow that still falls and the winds that still blow. And the beauty of the early blooms of the lily of the valley in the song and snowdrops in our lives, these flowers representing not just renewal and rebirth, but also the very strength of the life force in the midst of a dark and frozen world. We're about to hear a legend from Moldova that has been told from generation to generation, and a tale that still speaks to us today as we step out into our own gardens and delight in the tips of green, the snowdrops poking through the crusty, crunchy snow, as I did a few weeks ago, and today, this very day. So grateful to my dear mother for poking in those bulbs many years ago, keeping her memory alive and always a sense of hope. This spring, I went searching to learn more about snowdrops and came upon brief references to Moldova. We know what we do. We search on snowdrops and Moldova. And there it was. An essay from nearly two decades ago as part of News at Haverford, Haverford College, just outside Philadelphia. The piece was written by Julia De La Torre, now head of school at Moorestown Friends. And she has kindly agreed to share the legend with us in these trying times, a story of hope from Eastern Europe. We had a chance to speak by Zoom with Julia De La Torre to learn how she came to love snowdrops. So
I left for Moldova in the summer of 2003. And so Peace Corps service is always 2 years and a few months for training. So I left in the summer of 2003 and left in 2005.
Were you in a rural area? Were you in a city? How did they place you?
I was fortunate to get a little bit of both. So my training happened in a small village in sort of central Moldova near Hincest called Medeshen. Medeshen was the name of the village. And then I was placed for 2 years in a city called Cahul, which at the time was the third largest city in Moldova. And it's in southern Moldova, about 5 kilometers from the border with Romania.
You have spoken of a host family very dear to you. Introduce us to them, if you would.
I was lucky to have two wonderful ones in both of those places. But the one that I lived with the longest was a family that was made up of a mother, a father, and a son. Alexandra was my host mother. Nikolai was her husband. And their son, Sandu, which is short for Alexander. Sandu was 5 years old when I moved there. And so I got to watch him during a really wonderful window from 5 to 7 years old. My host mother is an educator. She's a community organizer. Today, she's actually the mayor of the village where she grew up, just south of Cahul. And so she knows how to make people move and do what she wants. She's so good at organizing people, inspiring them, motivating them. She's one of the most powerful women I've ever seen, the way she operates in a way with such empathy and care for other human beings. She's a leader that I really look to emulate. So I was really lucky to get to watch her as somebody in my late 20s in education. Her husband was a physical education teacher at a local school. And I worked at the local university teaching English to students who were aspiring to become English teachers. And I also did teacher training all over the country of Moldova. So I traveled and did workshops for educators.
You are still in touch with your host mother.
I am. Yes. It's been 20 years almost. So there are times where maybe we haven't spoken for a very long time, but I've been able to visit Moldova again with my husband. We went about 10 years ago so I could introduce him to my host family and to the country that meant so much to me. I hope to go back again. We welcomed Sandu, who's now a young man in his 20s. He came to stay with us on a visit to the United States. And of course, since the start of the war in Ukraine, we've been texting pretty frequently to see what can be done as they start to welcome Ukrainian refugees in their villages too.
You were dedicated to teaching and to education while you were in Moldova. And now you are head of school at a friend's institution in Moorestown?
Moorestown, yes, well pronounced. I'm the head of school at Moorestown Friends School, which is in Moorestown, New Jersey. It's just outside of Philadelphia.
And the values that a friend's school has, not just reading, writing, and arithmetic, there is an ethos, isn't there?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So a friend's school is very much committed not just to academic growth and excellence, but also a student's personal and spiritual growth as individuals. Friend schools are very much about peace and respect and integrity and community. These are really core values to who we are as an institution. And helping children learn how to put language to their emotions from an early age, learn to settle into stillness and listen to their inner voice, to contribute in community, to making our community a better place. These are all things that are really core to education here, even starting at 3 years old. So by the time you graduate from a friend's school, our hope is that you go out into the world, not just bright and having benefited from your academic experiences, but that you're going to leave a positive mark on the world and leave it a better place. And by doing that, it's really about equity, justice, advocating for the rights of all people. Those are really important values that we hold dear. And so things like the events taking place in Ukraine today, I think hit very close, not just to me personally, given my connection to the region, but I think a friend's school in general, I think we watch knowing that we want to lead through peaceful means and to honor the dignity of all. And so just like for everyone, I think watching these events has been really tragic.
And you sent a very powerful letter to your community with your concerns about them and the world at large. And the banner across the top of the letter was a wonderful spread of snowdrops. And you chose those, and you refer to snowdrops in the body of that letter because of your experience in Moldova?
That's right. So snowdrop flowers, I actually had never been exposed to snowdrop flowers. I grew up in Houston, Texas. Gardening was not my thing. And so when I moved to Moldova, I had such an interesting relationship with nature that I had never had before. You eat with the seasons, right? Whatever's growing on the trees or in your garden is what you're eating. It's not whatever's at the grocery store. You have an appreciation when that first sign of spring pops up through the snow. And the ghiocel, which is the Romanian word for the snowdrop flower, my introduction to the ghiocel was in Moldova. My host mother, I remember, burst into my room on March 1st, holding these ghiocel in her hand and so excited to recite poetry and sing songs and all kinds of things to wish you good fortune and good harvest and good luck and happiness with the coming of spring. And I realized in that moment that not only was spring not just sort of a moving of the clock or whatever it is we may do in our country to kind of acknowledge that spring has come, it was very much rooted to the land and what the land produced. And that was something that as a kind of urban American, it was new for me. And it was something that really resonated with me. So that's how I was introduced to the ghiocel.
And there is a story that you were able to set down in essay form for a journal issued by your alma mater, Haverford College. And it's a beautiful piece. If you wouldn't mind sharing it with us, and like all good folk tales, fairy stories, myths, it speaks from generation to generation.
Sounds good. And I will say the internet is an amazing thing that you even found this story from 20 years ago that, quite frankly, I had forgotten I wrote. So thank you for bringing it back to me and the legend back to me. I think reading it today through the lens of what's happening in Ukraine, I think it carries a very different meaning to me today than it did then. So I really want to express gratitude for you being an expert researcher and finding this piece. So I'd be happy to read it. Monday, March 1st was the first day of spring here in Moldova. With this holiday comes the tradition of Mărțișor. This holiday is unlike anything I've ever seen before and is also celebrated in Romania and Bulgaria, Moldova's neighbors. I've heard many legends related to Mărțișor since being in Moldova, but one of them is particularly impressive and has stuck with me since the first spring celebration last year. Legend has it that a long, long time ago, a dragon had captured the sun as he was dancing one day. The world grieved for the loss of the sun. No one sang or danced, the birds disappeared, and people were found in a deep sorrow. No one dared to fight the dragon, but one day, a brave man decided to save the sun. Everyone saw him off on his journey, wishing him well and praying for his safe return. He walked for three seasons until at the end of winter, the brave man found the dragon's castle. They fought and fought, shedding blood on the white snow until the brave man won. The snow quickly melted and the sun was freed, returning to the sky. Nature started to wake up and the first flower of spring, the snowdrop, started to open. But the brave man did not survive. He suffered for days, and on the 1st of March, he shed his last drop of blood on the snow, where the rest of spring's flowers soon bloomed. Today, in memory of the brave man who saved the sun, people give each other handmade red and white pins on March 1st to represent the coming of spring. The red represents love and the brave man's blood. The white represents health and purity and the first snowdrop flower of spring. Because so many of these handcrafted pins are given, some people have their shirts just covered with them. Each one is just a little bit different, showing the character and love of the person who made it. Mrtzishor are worn for an entire month, and after March has ended, it's typical to hang your pins on the trees in your yard in order to bring forth luck and a good harvest. Last year, I chose to hang my Mrtzishor on the apricot trees in my yard, and I'm happy to report that I enjoyed copious amounts of fruit all summer long. Upon returning to the United States, I hope to maintain this rite of spring, sharing the Mrtzishor with my friends and neighbors. As you begin your spring cleaning and outdoor activities, remember this Moldovan tradition and the words of the well-known poet recited here on March 1st. Din zapada gio celu, ascos vesel clopot celu, shai sunat in patru vintur, hai treziziva pamintur, flutur shi albine primavara vine. From the snow comes the snowdrop flower, the bells ring across the world. In order to wake up the earth, butterflies and bees, spring has come.
Thank you so much, Julia, and for reading the original first, because we could hear the musicality, all that rhyming, lovely. And again, you wrote that piece 20 years ago. And when we hear the legend now, it really is hard not to think of the horrific situation in Ukraine, even though this is not, as you tell us, a Ukrainian story. But the dragon as an evil force stealing the sun and all that the sun brings to the earth, food, water, and so much that's tied to life itself. But then in the legend, there is a brave fellow who has the courage to take on the force of evil and loose the sun from captivity and suppression. The brave one sacrifices his life for the well-being of all.
You're right. I think that we sort of look at this through the lens now of what's happening in Ukraine in a really unique way. I think this legend is about an individual, a brave man. And I think we can look to lots of examples of brave individuals during this current war. But I also, when I read this legend, I think about the power that darkness has to kind of permeate every aspect of our lives. But what's more important is the power of light to push out that darkness. So when I think about the drops of blood shedding on the snow, it's a really dramatic image that melts away that snow. But I often think about what are the forces of good, and maybe this is just my disposition, but what are the forces of good that push out the darkness? What is the light that pushes out the darkness? And when I think about the Giochel, I mean, everything is working against that flower pushing up from the earth. It's been frozen for months. And so it's almost by some miracle that that joy comes through the darkness and through the snow. And so when I read this legend today and I sort of think about the context in Europe, I think a lot about what is the power of each of us actually to bring joy into the darkness. It's part of why I wrote the letter to my community. I feel like oftentimes when we see things so devastating, especially far away, we feel like there's no role we can play to make it better. And it's really disempowering. And I think as human beings, we are by our nature wanting to make things better, right? We want to help. And so we work with children, and some of them as young as 3 years old. And I think kids see what's happening around them. And I think they're devastated too. And so the more that we can remind people that they have the power to push out the darkness with light and to bring joy where there is sorrow, I think the more we can all feel like we can also lend our voice to what's going on and raise awareness and make things even a little bit better, even if we can't have direct impact.
Julia Della Torre, head of school at Moorestown Friends School in Moorestown, New Jersey. She was able to speak with us and share a legend of hope from Moldova that she set down in an essay as part of News at Haverford in 2004. We thank her so much for giving us a glimpse of hope from that Eastern European perspective, a hope we all need so much in these trying times. For more information about Moorestown Friends, you can find the school on the web at mfriends.org. mfriends.org.